The scripture reading this morning is 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3, we read that in connection with Lord's Day 9. Lord's Day 9 is about the truth that God is almighty and He's our Father. He's our Father for Jesus' sake. In 1 John 3, we read of God our Father. 1 John 3, we begin at verse 1. We will read the whole chapter. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. And again, that verse 6, when it says, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not, that's a present tense verb, meaning that whoever abides in Him does not continue in unrepentant sin. Verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Thus far we read the holy inspired word of God this morning. On the basis of that passage and others, we have the truth contained in Lord's Day 9. Lord's Day 9, question and answer 26. What believest thou when thou sayest, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? That the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence, is, for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father, on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt but he will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body, and further, that he will make whatever evils he sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage. For he is able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing, being a faithful Father. The main point of this Lord's Day must not be missed. There are many important truths in Lord's Day 9. Two of them are mentioned right away. God is the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. God upholds and governs the same by His eternal counsel and providence. Two very important truths. And when one explains this Lord's Day, it is necessary to speak of God as the Creator. It's necessary to speak of Him as the ruler over all things. But those two truths, neither of them are the main point of this Lord's Day. That comes out in the fact that both of those points are in parentheses in question and answer 26. We read, "What believest thou when thou sayest, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, parentheses, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence, parentheses, end of the parentheses." The intent of the authors then was not primarily to speak of God as the Creator and of God as the ruler. The main point is something else. The main point is that God, the great God, is our Father. Answer 26 has those truths in parentheses and then says, He is, for the sake of Christ His Son, my God and my Father. The Catechism writers place the emphasis on that truth, that God is our Father, because the writers are writing with the theme of comfort. Yes, it's true. God is Creator. He is ruler over all things. Very true. But that's comforting because God is our Father. We need to see that today. And we need to remember that as we walk through this life. This life that is a valley of tears. God is my Father. That's why we read 1 John 3. That's why we are going to look at that first verse throughout the sermon. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Wonderful, wonderful truth. And we believe that truth. We believe this truth that God is our Father by faith. We believe that God, the great God, is our Father because God has united us to Jesus Christ by the bond of faith. And He works in us to exercise that faith. He works in us to know God and His Word and to believe that God and His Word is true. He works in us to believe that the summary of God's Word, the Apostles' Creed, is true. He works in us to say and believe in our hearts, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe that God is the Father and He's my Father for Jesus' sake. Let's be built up in our trust in our God today as we think upon who He is. And knowing that He is our Father, being built up in that truth, we have comfort in life and in death. Let's consider the text today then, under the theme, Believing in God the Father Almighty. Believing in God the Father Almighty. First, the meaning. Second, the comfort. Third, the calling. The meaning, the comfort, the calling. First, the meaning. We believe in God the Father. When Lord's Day 9 speaks of God as the Father, it's speaking of the triune God. The Father here refers to the triune God. Now, one might think that Lord's Day 9 is speaking of the first person of the Trinity. Question and answer 24, which we considered last week, it may have led us to think that the catechism in this section was now going to speak of each of the three persons individually. We even talked last week of the first person of the Trinity as God the Father. But now, when Lord's Day 9 speaks of the Father, speaks of God as the Father, it's not speaking of God as the first person, it's not speaking of the Father as the first person of the Trinity. It's speaking of the triune God. Now, we need to prove that. First of all, we know that when this Lord's Day is speaking of the Father, it's speaking of the triune God. We know that because it says, the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God come in the flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God incarnate. The eternal Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God incarnate, is the triune God. When the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God incarnate, came to this earth, when the Son of God came to this earth and took upon Himself our flesh and He spoke to the Father, He was addressing the triune God. When He prayed, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me, He was not speaking just to the first person of the Trinity, bypassing the Holy Spirit. No, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God in the flesh, when He spoke of the Father, He was speaking of the triune God. When 1 John 3 verse 1, we also know that Father refers to the triune God in Lord's Day 9 because He is called our Father. He's called our Father. It's not the case that the first person of the Trinity is our Father in exclusion from the other persons of the Trinity. God triune is our Father. When we address God as Father in prayer, we are not just speaking to the first person of the Trinity. We are speaking to the triune God. When 1 John 3 verse 1 says, Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. It's not just speaking of the love that the first person bestows upon us. It's speaking of the love of the triune God. The Father in Lord's Day 9 refers to the triune God. And even when Lord's Day 9 describes the Father's work of creation, it's referring to the triune God's work of creation. Remember, each of the three persons are involved in the work of creation. God the Father created all things by the Son through the Holy Spirit. Now you might wonder, why is the triune God called Father? The triune God is called Father because this is part of His very essence. The first person of the Trinity begets the Son eternally. And because God is in a Father in His very essence, the triune God is called our Father. Lord's Day 9 is speaking of the triune God. The triune God is Father, and He is our Father for Jesus' sake. Recognize that this morning. That's the wonderful news of the gospel. Don't miss it. It's the main point. The triune God is our Father for Jesus' sake. God, the triune God, He chose us to be His adopted children, His adopted sons and daughters before the world began, before we did good or evil. That's Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Romans 9 tells us more about God's choice of a certain people unto Himself. It shows to us He did not choose every single man to be His adopted child. He chose only His people. And He chose you and me out of all the people in the world to be His adopted sons and daughters. Think about that. Chose us apart from anything that we have that we would do. He chose us because He loved us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. God, the Father, sent Jesus Christ to do the legal work necessary for us to be His adopted children. That's why question and answer 26 says that we are, for the sake of Christ His Son, God's children. For the sake of Christ His Son. We are God's children only on the basis of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. The Holy God cannot be a loving Father to those who are guilty sinners in His sight. We of ourselves are guilty sinners. Naturally, we belong to Satan as guilty sinners. We cannot dwell with the Holy God and be His children as we are in ourselves. But God sent Jesus Christ. And through Christ's work on the cross, I am righteous before God. And thus I have the legal right to be His child. Think of that. God sent His only begotten Son to die for us, a people who show hatred for Him in our sins so often. He sent Christ to suffer His eternal wrath against our sins so that we might have the right to be His sons and daughters. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And by God's work within our hearts now, we even experience life as God's children. You see, God the Father makes us to know that we are His children whom He loves. God is not some cold being, not some cold God, distant being towards us. He's not a higher being of whom we are deathly afraid. No, He gives us faith so that we know we are His children whom He loves. And our Father, He loves us so much that He even makes us to look like Him in a spiritual, creaturely way. Makes us to look like Him. 1 John 3, verse 9 gets at that. We read in verse 9, "Whosoever is born of God," that is regenerated, "whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God." Again, that verb, commit sin, is in the present tense, meaning that whosoever is born of God, whosoever is regenerated and His child, he does not continue in unrepentant sin. No, he lives a life of repentance, and he turns, and he walks in God's ways by God's grace. He is made to look like God the Father, God His Father. That's what God does for us, His children. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God, and even live as the sons of God. We deserve to be children of the devil, blinded in sin, on the path to eternal destruction. But our God loves us, and He calls us His children. Love, infinite love. God is the Father, and He is our Father, and we believe that. We believe this. We believe that God is our Father who has chosen us in eternity. That He has earned the right for us to be His children. And that He even now is working in us so that we experience life as His children. We believe that. We believe that by faith. We believe this only as those who have been united to Jesus Christ. Remember that we have no power to know God and His Word. No power to believe in Him as we are of ourselves. But God, in His gracious love towards us, He has united us to Christ and made us truly to know this, be assured of it, to believe it. To believe that He is our Father for Jesus' sake. What a God we have. Now we believe that God is our Father. And we also believe that He, our Father, is almighty. Did you hear that? He's our Father who loves us, and He is almighty. He's the almighty creator of heaven and earth. Question and answer 26 says, "What believest thou when thou sayest, I believe in God the Father almighty, maker of heaven and earth? That the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that is in them." Power. Many deny that God is the almighty creator of heaven and earth. Many are evolutionists. They teach the theory of evolution. They teach that the origin of all things is something like the Big Bang, which occurred billions of years ago. After the Big Bang, all things began to develop, they say, according to fixed natural laws. Over the course of billions of years, they say, there were mutations, adaptations, so that now we have all of these different species of living things around us. That's how all things came to be, so they say. But Scripture teaches us something very different, and even you kids know that. Genesis 1 verse 1 says, all things did not come to be by a big bang or something like it. It says God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1 verse 1. God created all things by speaking. Genesis 1 verse 3. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Answer 26 brings that out when it says that God out of nothing made heaven and earth. It's especially emphasizing that He did not use any tools to make all things. Think of that, kids. Whenever you make anything, you use a tool. Can you create anything by speaking? Have you ever tried to call something into existence by speaking? That's what God did. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He is the Almighty God, our Father. We talked about our Father who loves us. He is the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. He's the mightiest. He's the might behind all might. That's who our God is. Scripture shows that He is such a powerful God. Our Father is such a powerful God that He even created all things in six literal 24-hour days. We read that in Exodus 20, verse 11 this morning. But also, Genesis chapter 1 proves that He made all things in six literal 24-hour days. It says, the description of what was created on each day ends with the phrase, the evening and the morning were the first day, the evening and the morning were the second day, and so on. God spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Psalm 33, verse 9. Things did not take billions of years to develop into what they are today. No, God spoke and called forth the sun, the moon, and the stars into existence. He's God Almighty. God created all things in six 24-hour days. We can't even build and furnish a house that quickly. He's the Almighty God. Now some try to take away from God's power. It's really what they are doing when they deny that God created all things in 6 24-hour days. There are many, even in the church world, sadly, that profess to believe in God, but also teach evolution. Many of them are what we call theistic evolutionists. Believe in God, but what they say is that God oversaw this process of evolution over the course of billions of years. When they say that it took billions of years for things to develop, they really are taking away from the power of God, the one who called all things forth in an instant. God Almighty. He's our Father. Our Father is the Almighty Creator, and He's also the sovereign ruler. Our Father, the sovereign ruler over all things. Answer 26 says, He of nothing made heaven and earth and all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by His eternal counsel and providence. Many deny that He upholds and governs, or really controls, all things. The son of a Reformed college professor once slipped on a hike, and he died at the age of 23. That college professor then wrote a book. He wrote a book about it in which he was grappling with what happened, a horrible, horrible event. And he spoke a lot about God in that book. But what he refused to say is that God was in control, in complete control of that event. In fact, he said that he abhorred that very idea, that very thought. A loving God doesn't bring something like that to pass. Many agree with that man. Many say God does not send cancer. He doesn't send dementia. He doesn't send that car crash that killed that 5-year-old child. A loving God doesn't do that. That's what many say. But Scripture teaches something very different. Scripture teaches that God is in control over everything. That's what Job said in Job 1 verse 21 by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That God is in control of the things that we see as good. And God is in control of those things that we see as bad. Those troubles, those difficulties of life. Job said, Job 1 verse 21, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He gave, and He takes away. Job said that after he lost every one of his children and all of his things in one day. The Lord did that. Answer 26 agrees with Job 1 verse 21. It speaks of the evils He sends me, the evils that God sends to me, the troubles He sends my way. God's in control of absolutely everything, including every slip, every cancer cell, every death. If He was not in control of all of those things, He would not be God. Our Almighty Father controls all things, and He controls all things by His eternal counsel and providence, according to answer 26. God's eternal counsel is the plan that He made before the world began. God determined every single little detail, every little event that would ever occur in the history of the world. Every event that has occurred in your life and that will occur has been planned by Him. God determined in eternity that that child of that professor would slip on that mountain. God determined that certain ones, a certain person would have cancer, a certain person would have dementia, and how many times each person's heart would beat. God determined that. And He brings that to pass by His providential power. His providence is the power by which He controls all things and makes everything to happen exactly as He planned it. Our Father is Almighty. He's the Almighty Creator, and He is the Almighty Ruler of heaven and earth. That's what the Scriptures teach. And that's what we believe by the faith that God gives to us. We look at the sunrise and we believe that God called forth the sun into existence by His word. We hear about the death of a loved one, and that is very sad, but we believe that God sent that event to our life, that God caused that person's heart to stop beating. He was in control of that very event. We believe that. We believe that as those who have been united to Christ by the bond of faith. We believe that God is our Father and that He is Almighty. Now, believing that God is my Father, our Father, and believing that He is Almighty, we have comfort in life and in death. Believing that God is our Father and that He is Almighty, we believe, we know that He can and He will give to us all that we stand in need of. That's question and answer 26. God is for the sake of Christ His Son, my God and my Father, on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt but He will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body. We know that, and that's comforting. Now, what are the things necessary for soul and body? The things necessary for our bodies are the things that we need to survive physically from day to day. We need food, shelter, clothing, and warmth to survive physically. In this day and age, we need jobs to buy the food, the drink, the shelter, the clothing. We have physical needs, needs of the body. Even more important than the things necessary for the body are the things necessary for the soul. The things necessary for the soul are the things that we need to experience life with God, and the things that we need to be preserved as God's children. We need for our souls, we need to be given faith to believe in God, to trust in Him, to trust in Jesus Christ for all of our salvation. We need forgiveness of sins. We need God to declare to our conscience that we are righteous in Christ so that we know that. We need God to deliver us from evil, to keep us from becoming lost in the ways of the world, and to work in us to serve Him. We need things for the body and things for the soul. Now, believing that God is my Father and Almighty, I know that He is willing and He's able to give to me all things necessary for body and soul. I know it! What comfort that is. Knowing that God is my Father and that He is Almighty, I know that He is willing and able to provide for me all things necessary for the body. Knowing that He is Almighty Creator, I know that He is able to provide for me and for my family physically. Knowing that the Almighty God is my Father who sent His Son for me, I know that He is willing to provide me and my family exactly what we need physically from day to day. I know it. What a comfort that is. And knowing that God is my Father and Almighty, I know that He is willing and able to provide all things necessary for the soul too. He's my Almighty Father. He's able and He's willing to give to me faith, to give to me strength to believe and trust in Him. Our Almighty Father is able and willing to forgive us. 1 John 3, verse 20 says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." We feel guilt when we sin. But our Almighty God is able to bring us to know in our conscience that we are righteous in His sight for Jesus' sake. Our Almighty Father is willing to make us to know in our conscience that we are righteous before Him for Jesus' sake. And our Almighty Father is also able and willing to deliver us from evil. Oh, there are sins that we struggle with. Every one of us has those sins. You think about them now. But remember, God is our Father. He sent His Son for us. He certainly is willing to give us strength to turn. God is Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth in six literal days. He certainly is able to turn us from that horrible sin. What comfort it is to know that our God is Almighty and He is our Father. And what a Father He is. You think, as it may, the fathers in here, you are willing to give your children things, but you can't always do it. You're not always able to do it. And sadly, there are some fathers in the world who are able to give their children many things, but are not willing to do it. Not willing to provide as they should for their children. But God is our perfect Father. God is the greatest Father. He is willing to provide all things that we need. And He is able to provide all that we need for us His children. He's the greatest Father. Wonderful. Wonderful truth. Now, at this point, there may be some who object yet. There may be some that say, well, what you are saying, it sounds really nice. It sounds great. But it's not true for my experience. It's not true for me. Horrible things have happened to me. I'm not happy. Such tragedies have happened that I'm just not happy. If God was really such a great Father, wouldn't He make me happy? Remember that the Catechism says that God provides all things necessary for soul and body. God never says that He is going to give us everything that we want. Never says that. As our Father, He never promises to make our lives easy. God does give to us all that we need to serve Him, though. God does give to us all that we need even to enjoy covenant life with Him. At times, listen closely, at times that might mean that He sends you a great affliction. But often, that great affliction is the best possible thing for our spiritual health. The best possible thing. Believing that God is my Father and Almighty, I know that He's willing and He's able to provide me with all things necessary for soul and body. And what a comfort that is as those who live here on this earth now. Believing that God is my Father and Almighty, I also know that He is willing and able to turn all things to my advantage. Answer 26 says those words. Let them sink deeply upon your soul this morning. I rely on Him so entirely that I have no doubt, but He will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body, and further, that He will make whatever evils He sends upon me in this valley of tears to turn out to my advantage. For He is able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing, being a faithful Father. May our Father now impress upon us that wonderful truth. We face great evils. We face great difficulties in this valley of tears. There are horrible sins that are committed that bring about this great suffering. We experience hurt because others say a wrong word to us. Sometimes horrible hurt. There are even things so evil as sexual abuse, physical abuse. It's horrible to hear about. We experience pain. There's sickness, there's cancer, There is the death of children, even children in the womb that we've been, maybe a mother has carried, the full term even. No matter what, that's a traumatic thing. In these troubles, our comfort is not this. It's not, well, someone else has it worse. That's not our comfort. Our comfort is not, well, life will get better again. There are ups and downs in everyone's life. It's on the downward trend right now. Things will get better. That's not really our comfort either. Sometimes the sickness remains. This is our comfort. God is my Father, and He is Almighty. And I know that He turns all things to my advantage. That's my comfort in life and death. It's not the case that God is cursing us when He sends to us cancer. It's not the case at all. No, God is our Almighty Father. He works all things for good to those who love Him, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Romans 8, verse 28. Our Almighty Father sends cancer to us, sends cancer to even to our loved ones. He does that in His love. He does that to increase the spiritual health of His dear children, to bring them to depend more and more upon Him, to bring the family to depend more and more upon Him, Almighty God. Our God sends cancer to bring one to long for their heavenly home, to prepare one for perfect life with Him in heaven, where there is no more pain, no more sorrow, and no more death, to bring one's eyes, point them up to Him. Affliction truly is for our profit. God is Almighty and He's our Father. He's making all things turn to our advantage. Now, it may not always be crystal clear why our Father sends us an especially difficult trial. Sometimes we just don't know why exactly something happened the exact way that it did. But we do know this. God's our Father, He is Almighty, and He is making all things work for our good, for our salvation. He's even working all things so that Jesus Christ returns and He takes us to be with Him in body and in soul forevermore in the new heavens and new earth. He's making every single event in history work towards that end. 1 John 3 verse 2 says, "We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall be as He is." At the end, we will be like Christ in a spiritually creaturely way. We will have true knowledge, righteousness, and holiness in perfection. We will see Christ, as 1 John 3, verse 2 says. We will see Him, gaze upon His face, see His wonderful love for us in a way that we've never seen it before. More full than we've ever seen it before. Our Almighty Father is directing all things so that that occurs. So that we live forever in the new heavens and new earth with our God. If you ever doubt that God is turning all things for your advantage, remember a couple things. There are times where in the weakness, as those who have weak sinful flesh, we do struggle with doubt. But remember these two things. First, remember that the Almighty God is our Father. And in the second place, remember that the great God has sent Jesus Christ to die for us. That's the greatest, highest, most beautiful proof of God's love. The gift of His Son. 1 John 3 verse 16 says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us." When you are struggling with something difficult in your life, remember, God sent Christ, His only begotten Son. He sent His only begotten Son to die for you. Therefore, He certainly is working all things for your good and to bring you to your heavenly home to live with Him forever. What a wonderful truth. Our God, God is our Father and He's Almighty.
He certainly is willing and able to turn all things for our advantage. What comfort. In our calling in response to this, this wonderful truth that God is our Father and He's Almighty, our calling is to trust and obey. Believe in Him and obey. First of all, trust in God all of the time. Answer 26 speaks of relying or trusting or believing in God. We read that God is for the sake of Christ, His Son, my God and my Father, on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt, but He will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body. Times of difficulty will come, and it will be natural to doubt God. When you are having a hard time financially, it will be natural to doubt that you will be provided for, that you will be given exactly what you need, and your family too. When your loved one becomes very sick, it will be natural to lay in your bed and worry, thinking about all the what ifs. When you are struggling with a particular sin, it will be natural to despair and doubt that God actually can turn you from that sin. It's natural to doubt God, but it's very foolish. It's very foolish to doubt that our Almighty Father is able to provide exactly what we need physically as families. It's very foolish to doubt that our Almighty Father, the one who created heaven and earth, the one who sent His only Son for us, it's very foolish to doubt that He will care for us and our families, even in the midst of a great sickness of a loved one. It's very foolish to doubt that He will not give to us, our families, exactly what we need. When you are, it's also very foolish to doubt that the Almighty Father of us is not able and willing to turn us from a particularly grievous sin. It's foolish to doubt Him. He's Almighty. He's our Father. Let's trust in Him. Let us believe in Him at all times. Trust in Him. Rely upon Him. That's especially shown in prayer. Do that. Trust in Him. Believe in Him. And show that trust in Him in prayer. When you begin to worry about finances, call upon your Almighty God in prayer, trusting that He will and He can provide. When your loved one is very sick, call upon your Almighty Father, trusting that He will give and He can give to your family exactly what you need. When you are struggling with a particular sin, call upon your Almighty Father who created all things, trusting that He can and He will turn you from sin. Our Almighty Father does comfort us. He does strengthen us. He's our Father. Rely upon God in the difficult times and continue to rely upon Him too when there are times of prosperity. When you are doing well financially, do not forget Him. Continue to lean upon the One who has provided for you in the past. When you do turn from that sin and you see the folly of it and you flee, you go the opposite direction, continue to lean upon God for strength that you might continue to turn and walk in His ways. He's our Almighty Father. Trust in Him and obey. 1 John 3 especially brings that out. The first verse, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." The God who chose us, the God who sent His Son to die for us, we might have the right to be His children, the One who makes us to experience life as His children. Behold His love. Think about it. That's how the chapter begins. And then the rest of the chapter follows by saying, obey Him. Obey God. Verse 4 says, verse 3 says, "Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Verse 11, this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 23, this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. So let's do that. Let's love God and love one another. Seek God's glory in all that you do. When you wake up in the morning, seek God's glory as the One who is your Almighty Father. When you drive to work, when you are at work, when you're watching TV, when you're on your phone, remember that you are a child of the Almighty God.
and serve Him. And love the brother too. When someone does something that you do not particularly appreciate, maybe even sins terribly against you, remember that you are a child of the Almighty God. Remember the truth that the Father has shown love to you and continues to show love to you, even though you have sinned against Him millions of times. Remember that when the brother does something you don't like. And love the brother. God is our Father, and He is Almighty. He's even turning all things to our advantage. Trust in Him. Obey Him. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, Thou art a great God, Creator, ruler over all things, and also our Father who loves us for Jesus' sake. Lord, work in us to trust in Thee, to believe in Thee at all times. All times. Work in us sovereignly to do that. Work in us to obey Thee in thankfulness for all that Thou hast given us to. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.